a fantastic show coming up for you today and a little bit of a mishmash. Nate Ravitz, my co-host, unfortunately is taken ill. He'll be back tomorrow. But you'll hear him later in the show as we have an interview, Nate and myself, with the founder and the creator, the godfather, if you will, of fantasy baseball, Mr. Daniel Okrent. So that's exciting. We have also got news. A bunch of injuries happen. Tristan Cockcroft, who joins me now. A bunch of injuries happen. Aaron Hill, Brian Roberts, they go on the DL. We'll talk about a starting pitcher that goes on the DL. We've got some potential injury news with the Grady Sizemore, Jacoby Ellsbury, and Jimmy Rollins. We'll get all into that. But first, I want to start with an email, Tristan.
Okay.
And Ben from Minneapolis writes, "Hey, guys. It was just announced here on the Minneapolis Morning News that 06010's very own Eric Hutchinson will be performing at the annual outdoor music festival, the Basilica Block Party, opening up for Weezer. They don't just get anyone for the block party there in Minneapolis, Tristan. They got to go to 06010's very own Eric Hutchinson, international recording superstar. Anyway, Ben writes, "I'm looking forward to pushing my way to the front to yell requests for the Fantasy Focus theme song. I imagine the crowd going wild, lighters going up in the air, and Hutch stopping for a verse to let the crowd take over Fantasy, all the way giving to a ripping guitar solo to Hutch." Well, listen, Ben, you don't have to wait till then. We're going to do it for you now. What do you think, dude?
I'd give that the thumbs up. But you know what? I think I have heard it before.
Have you?
I think I have. Yes, I have.
It's
catchy. Although I'm wondering, is Weezer going to play in the second set?
That would be
cover.
You know what? Now we have a goal. Now we have a goal. Because, listen, it's not enough. Thank you, Tristan. It is not enough that international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson sings this song. Sings it well. And he does great. It's a huge hit. He gets tons of requests for it. But yes, we now need another international recording superstar to cover it. That's the next goal, Tristan.
Yeah, no,
I'm telling you,
it's such the rage today. Everyone's doing these covers. If you can get a cover of it, that's when you know you've totally, totally hit it big.
Even a rap song that could sample it. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's how they do it these days. That's the popular way
with
the kids, right?
Right. Exactly. Somebody get me Jay-Z on the phone. Pod Vader, get Jay-Z on the phone. Put in a call to Eminem's management.
I can just hear it as a Jay-Z and Rihanna kind of...
yeah.
How about Kanye?
Sure. Sure. Actually, you know what? Kanye could use... some good publicity these days. He could use something to let the public re-embrace him. And I got to tell you something. The people that are fans of young 17-year-old singers like Taylor Swift are never going to embrace him. So Kanye's got to shoot older.
How about the Jonas Brothers?
Listen, how many times have we been trying to get the Jonas Brothers on this show?
Too often, that's for sure.
That's right. This is very sad. All right, let's get to some actual news here. Tristan, as you and listeners to the show know, we have the Jimmy Rollins rule in effect, which states we need to mention any injury, no matter how minor, just because there's a chance that Jimmy Rollins will go on the DL for a long time, even though Nate insists that he would not. And he was a late scratch for the Phillies. Strained his right calf, getting an MRI today. Your thoughts on Jimmy Rollins and the concerns there?
Well, you know, I'd be quick to dismiss an injury like that, but yeah, you're right. We learned our lesson of this in the past. You know, Rollins has missed time before. He's had DL issues and come back pretty quickly afterwards, so I guess it is easy to use the gut instinct of assuming he's back. Frustration here, but when I buy Jimmy Rollins, I buy him for the second half. He's a classic second half player.
Right, you're almost like, good, missed the first half. I just need you to be healthy from July on. Yeah, I'm not real concerned, but I'm definitely keeping an eye open. And certainly, as we'll get into it, you'll see there's a lot of kind of middle infield types, shortstops and second basemen that are out there that are kind of performing at high levels. So you may want to grab one of them quickly. We'll get to them in a second. But let's move on to the other side of the up the middle position and go to second base where Brian Roberts goes on the DL for the Orioles.
Yeah, another one of those ones where fantasy owners are pretty frustrated. And I think the thing that irks me most about this is that the guy's had injuries dating all the way back into spring training. So it's kind of frustrating that he should have probably began the year on
right.
the DL. And now instead he seems to have a setback, and I'd be worried that this might last a little bit longer.
See, I'm not as concerned just because they made the move retroactively. And, you know, the Orioles, I don't think, want to fall too far. I mean, they'd like to still be in the race in June, you know? So...
You think they're going to be in the race in that division in June?
In June. Not in July. Definitely not in August. But yes,
yeah.
I think they could potentially float water and still be in that race, you know, early June.
I'd say I agree with you if the Rays weren't in that division, and I like Tampa this year.
Yeah, no, I like Tampa this way, but I do like Baltimore's offense quite a bit. I've talked about this significantly, and, you know, so far their young pitching hasn't been completely abysmal. So, anyway, my point is, though, so Julio Lugo takes over. He went on the disabled list after we did the podcast yesterday. We thought it was going to happen, but we talked a little bit about Julio Lugo yesterday. I basically say you want no part of him.
Yeah, you really only do in AL-only leagues if you desperately need steals. But, you know, I think the interesting thing about this is that Ty Wigginton made an appearance at second base.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gets some qualification there, I actually think he might become more attractive in AL-only leagues.
Totally agree.
You use him at second, but he'll get you the at-bats at, you know, corner spots, DH. I think he's going to get enough to matter in those leagues.
I think Ty Wigginton finishes the year, barring a major injury, with 350 at-bats.
Oh, I could see that, yeah.
And Wigginton is a guy that has, when he's gotten playing time, is hit for power with mm-hmm. with an average that won't kill you.
Yeah, so, he's done it plenty of times before. And, you know, I mean, the guy had 410 at-bats last year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so we're on the same page there. I like Wigginton. I'm not a big Lugo fan. This was, again, you know, same thing. It was like a nagging injury. And then the Blue Jays put Aaron Hill on the 15-day DL. He's got a hamstring injury.
Yeah, that's one that dates back to a few days before. And I think I even said the last time we discussed Aaron Hill that I wasn't overly concerned, and I'm a big fan of his. And I'm still a big fan of his. But it's frustrating. It just kills me because I really thought Aaron Hill could repeat to a certain degree, not as much power, and now we're going to see him out. And you got Mike McCoy now getting his at-bats.
Well, you know what, and it's interesting. He's a different kind of player, but Mike McCoy's got a little bit of speed. And I think, you know, again, like if you lost Brian Roberts and you're looking for speed, McCoy is an interesting guy there. Like if you were like, I need speed out of my second base... You know, I think McCoy is a little bit of an interesting guy there.
He's a good on base guy with decent speed, and in AL only leagues you're going to pick him up. I'm kind of skeptical about how often he's going to play. John McDonald actually played second base yesterday, so
right.
That's a concern. But I agree with you that you've got to add him, but only in AL only leagues.
Yeah, no question. I mean, no, he's definitely an AL only play in mixed leagues, as we're going to get into here in 1 second. There's actually lots of other guys that, you know, you can get. But look, has a, you know, a last year he had 40 steals in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
Hit 307, two home runs, 52 RBIs, 40 stolen bases in AAA last year. Now, he's 28. He's no, you know, so just so you know, I mean, there's a reason that he probably hasn't made the majors. I don't think you'll expect that. But yeah, you know, as a stopgap guy in AL only leagues, I think Mike McCoy is an interesting name there. I'll give you a name that I think is out there in a lot of leagues, and that's Chris Getz, who currently has 3 steals in his last, I believe, 5 games or 6 games. I'd have to look that up. I think it might be actually 6 games. Sorry. So, but you know, he had 25 steals last year. McCoy did, not McCoy. Sorry, Chris Getz had 25 steals last year. So we know he can run. And guess what team leads the majors in stolen bases?
Ooh, I would not be able to give you the right answer on that one, but if you're saying Chris Getz, I have to assume it's the Royals.
The Kansas City Royals have 11 steals on the year. Tied, they are in first, and in second are the Yankees, Dodgers, Pirates, and Rays, all with eight.
And does David DeJesus have any of them?
He might. You know who's running like crazy? But you know who's running like crazy is Scott Podsednik for that team.
Yeah. And that was a good pickup for them, I thought. I mean, he wasn't what he was last year, but that was a good pickup.
And he's available in just like over 92% of leagues, so Podsednik. But Chris Getz is a guy that is getting a lot of playing time and is going to continue to get playing time until Alex Gordon comes back. And that leads me to my next thing. What do you think about Alex Gordon? Had a double and a walk in single A yesterday in a rehab start. He's played five rehab games, one strikeout, seven walks. So he's seeing the ball really, really well. Tristan, what do you think? Gordon's coming back and he's probably coming back within the next week is my guess. What do you think happens there? You know, Getz has played very, very well. I know they want to keep Chiaspo's bat in the lineup. Nate and I have a bet. I believe Alberto Chiaspo does not get 600 plate appearances this year. So just I'm asking you to look into your crystal ball a little bit and talk about the Royals here.
I have a feeling in the end the three of them are going to divide up at bats fairly evenly. So I think I'd agree that Chiaspo is probably not going to get to 600 at bats. That's a tough number to get to as well. But this is the thing with Alex Gordon.
I'm sorry, 600 plate appearances. I messed it. It's 600 plate appearances.
Even still, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, an everyday player who hits high in the lineup is 700. So, I mean, it's still 600 is a pretty healthy number. But Alex Gordon, to get to him, I'm so tempted to assume this is his breakout year every year. I'm so tempted. He's very brittle, does not have a great health history, and that's not a good sign for a young guy. And I'd love to get on that bandwagon. He's had some hot streaks, but they're usually like a month long. So it's kind of like, I want to tell you on talent, you got to take the chance. But I'm not giving up anything meaningful for him. Not at this point.
I agree with you. So rest of the season, who would you rather have, Aaron Hill or Brian Roberts?
Oh, Aaron Hill.
I agree with you there.
It's very close, but I'm an Aaron Hill fan. I believe in him.
A couple of quick Jimmy Rollins rules updates require us to mention that Jacoby Ellsbury not in the lineup after bruising the ribs on Sunday. We talked about the Beltre collision. So manager Terry Francona saying he hopes Ellsbury is only going to miss a few days. Not worried about it yet, but just a heads up there. And Grady Sizemore missed the home opener for Cleveland, but manager Manny Actis said he was much better yesterday. So that's two straight games that Grady has missed. Again,
not a good sign after last year.
Not a good sign at all. Nothing happened. They're saying all the right things, but again, the Jimmy Rollins rule says we do that. One last one. Chris Young goes on the DL, strained right shoulder. Now, according to the San Diego Union-Tribune, they're not going to put a new starter in there. Like the way the schedule lays out, he's actually going to just miss a few days, but they're not going to need a fifth starter, which is where Young is currently slotted, the way they slotted this.
They can really do that?
That's what the San Diego Union-Tribune said. I read the whole article on the move and why they did it, and they did it. They specifically made the move now because they looked at the upcoming schedule and felt they could get away with it, and they're going to carry an extra reliever for the time that he's out. So I have to assume that, yeah, they looked at it and they felt like they could, skip days and just go with a four-man rotation until he was eligible to come back.
I'm interested by that one because when I mapped out the schedule, it was five straight days heading into Sunday, so I think Sunday they might have an issue, and I was wondering whether they bring up either Tim Stauffer or Wade LeBlanc, but maybe they're going to throw one guy one time on 3 days rest. But, Chris Young, I don't know about you. Do you understand? I don't understand how people felt that he was going to bounce back. I mean, it seemed to me that people were very confident about the guy. I didn't see what there was to like about him.
Well, I think what's to like about him is the skill set. I mean, pitching in Petco, pitching in San Diego, Chris Young has been an effective fantasy pitcher. Now, the problem is, and Nate and I have talked about this many times on this podcast, Chris Young doesn't go deep in games. Even a healthy Chris Young is a 5-6-inning guy. He uses a lot of pitches, and so it's hard to get wins, especially with a low-scoring team like the Padres. But, he's going to have a low ERA. He's going to have a low whip, generally, and he's going to strike guys out for you.
The problem I have with him, though, is that, the guy's averaged 5.6 innings per start for his career, and the past 2 years, 3.96 ERA and 5.21. And sure, last year he was hurt, so that contributed. But I'm not that impressed for a guy in Petco with his talent.
There's no question he's been disappointing. I mean, I loved him as a sleeper, a while back, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's true. It doesn't seem like he's delivered on the promise that he showed. But listen. what can I say? You're filling in for Nate, so you're the St. A. kid. You're negative Nate today. You're
that's
down.
True.
I look at the Chris Young as half full. You look at as half empty.
Cause I think that it was one of those ones where you jump on the bandwagon in 06, 07, and people stayed on too long. I think that's where I'm getting at. But, yes, I have to bring the negativity in here. You all need right. somebody to do it.
All right, well, I'm going to give you one more to be negative on. Scott Rolen hits two home runs yesterday, and I bring this up just because he's now got three home runs and four RBIs in six games, hitting .318. Buying this at all? I mean, you know, seems to be healthy.
Scott Rolen last year started off the year with one of the most absurd line drive rates I think I've ever seen, and everybody said it was a big fluke, and he was surprisingly useful.
Yes.
And, I hate to trust the guy. You want to talk about brittle. Scott Rolen is your poster boy for that. But, hey, he's undervalued. I swiped him late in a couple of NL-only leagues, and I don't think I'm going to be unhappy with the results.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think he's a guy that's useful. I mean, there's guys like that. Like, you know, Nate and I talked about Alex Gonzalez yesterday. Jose Guillen now has three home runs. It's a Royals-heavy show, but Jose Guillen now has three home runs on the season, you know, and that's a guy that, when healthy, can hit, has hit in his career.
I think that's the key here. Guys who have these black marks on them in fantasy, they're injured too much, they're frustrated. Or in the case of Guillen, where he got suspended by the Angels several years back, people kind of look at them and say, oh, he can't do anything. Hey, there's such a thing in fantasy as hot streaks or riding a good period, maybe one or two months of great production. These guys can do that. And I think fantasy owners underrate that way too often.
Especially when you're in a 10-team league, like an ESPN Standard League, where the free agent pool is fairly deep. So you can do that. You can grab a Scott Rolen or a Jose Guillen or an Alex Gonzalez, a guy that's, you know, on a little bit of a hot streak, and ride him. Then he hits the wall, you just dump him.
Yeah, because there'll always be somebody out there.
There'll always be somebody out there like Will Venable and Kyle Blanks. The Padres outfield going crazy. I actually really like both guys, by the way, Venable and Kyle Blanks. Last thing for me, Jason Frazier blows his second save, five opportunities. You a little worried, especially considering how good Kevin Gregg has looked?
I am. The first save for Kevin Gregg was one of those off-day things for Frazier, but
right.
Frazier also had a shaky first game, and Gregg got another save. And I don't think that was on a Frazier off-day. It was just they decided to give him a little rest. So, yes, I would be concerned.
Yes.
It looks like one of those dual bullpens. It's kind of like the 86 Mets.
they can only hope for the success of that team.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm with you. I think, you know, if I owned Frazier, I would definitely make sure I owned Kevin Gregg.
Name out. Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find a little weird I have to ask twice.
Burr.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com. Tristan is the email address, fantasyfocus@ESPNRadio.com. Kraken faithful. Have you heard our new nickname for Jason Hayward?
Yeah, I've absolutely heard it, and we had the debate about whether it was unleash or release, and my point was, you don't want to release him. No.
Right. So you've heard it. All right, good.
Yep.
Thank God. Anyway, Craig from King of Prussia writes, in TMR's recent 10 lists of 10 column, he had a really great list about players to bail on at the first sign of trouble. These were 10 guys that, you know, that are owned in almost every league, at least 90% of leagues, that the minute I see some trouble, I'm bailing on, Tristan.
Right.
And he asks, are there any other guys you would place on this list and maybe that you're mildly worried about for 10-team mixed leagues after the first week? People that you think could lose jobs won't return to form. Specifically, I'm worried about Jake Peavy. You buying him to bounce back, or should I test my waiver wire? Another poor start for Peavy yesterday. I'm now putting this in. So, Tristan, you worried?
There's no way you're cutting Jake Peavy.
There's
just no way. I mean, it's silly to do that, and people are just way too trigger happy at this point in the year. I'm not a Jake Peavy fan. I haven't been since that trade. I think I made that pretty clear in a couple of the columns. And it's not that he's a terrible guy. I mean, he's got a good strikeout, right? It's just that the ERA and the WHIP were not going to be close to what they were in San Diego. He's not going to be top 25. But if he's the 26th starting pitcher, are you going to complain?
No, you're not. But I think it depends, like, in terms of how you structure your team. If you're counting on Jake Peavy to be an ace, if you went like basically, I'm going to get one guy to anchor my team, and then I'm going all cheap. Like, I did an NL-only draft this past weekend. It was my 26th annual draft of this league. You know, Nate and I talked about it a little bit. The Fat Dog Rotisserie League in College Station, Texas. I fly back every year. This year was our 26th draft with 8 of the original 12 members in attendance.
That's impressive.
And we play by the book. Literally the original Rotisserie League baseball book, the one founded by Daniel Okrent, who's coming up and talking to Nate and I in a little bit here. So in an NL-only league, what I did with that, because it goes so deep, and it's a keeper league, so I didn't have great keepers this year because I won it last year. I basically decided I wanted one stud, and I ended up getting Yovani Gallardo. I wanted one stud, and then I was going all cheap the rest of the way. So if this guy basically counted on Jake Peavy as his anchor, you know, and went basically, you know, cheaper the rest of the way, then you got to say, like, okay, I don't think Jake Peavy is a staff anchor this year.
Yeah, but I think the problem with that is that the only thing you can do in those cases is hope he has one or two good starts that you can use to trade him and kind of capitalize on a little of that buzz that was going on in the preseason. I think it's a little too late to fix the ace problem. He's more of a number two or three to me on a fantasy team. But I don't think there's a lot you could do to fix that necessarily. It's not like aces, grow on trees on the waiver wire. You might get a guy who's a 2-3-4 off the waiver wire, but they're not easy to find. A lot of times that's just a matter of luck.
I agree with you. I think he's a 2 or 3, and you count on him there. Anyway, he says, thanks to Eric Hutchinson for an excellent theme song. I'm saving my thanks for you two until I get some actual useful advice. Well, obviously save your thanks there. That's Craig from King of Prussia. I don't know we helped you out at all. Steve writes in, hey guys, I'm in a 20-team mixed league. Is it safe to attribute your NL or AL-only advice to my league considering the approximate equivalent size of the player pool?
It's about right, yeah. It's pretty darn close, yes. Depends. I mean, if you're in, unless you're in like something like Tout Wars of Labor where you're going down to 12 or 13 teams, you might be digging the bottom of the barrel.
I agree with you. After Justin Dukeshire's scorching start, I know it's been only 2 games, what are your season predictions? Would you say he's a Dukeshire-er thing? I just LOL'd all over myself. That's Teacher Mike from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
A teacher used the LOL.
Yeah.
Teaching the kids well.
Yeah, he's spending a little bit too much time with the fifth graders, I'm guessing. But question for you, because I've actually been all over Dukeshire. He was one of my sleepers in the preseason, and he's actually in my bold predictions that he stays healthy and that he continues to perform at a high level. Really good start last night. What are your thoughts on the Duke?
I believe I recall that, and you also mentioned Ben Sheets, and the number was a very surprisingly high number.
I think I said 300 innings between the two of them.
I could completely see that because, you know, you're accounting for a bit of a DL stint probably for each of them.
Right.
You know, maybe even a month miss for each. Dukeshire is one of these guys that fits that description I have of the per-game performer, and I like those types because I'm always okay with going to the waiver wire and picking someone else. You just mentioned in a 10-team ESPN league, you're always going to have an easy time finding replacements on the waiver wire. So I like him on a per-game basis. Good pitcher to have.
Go Blackhawks. That is from Chris in Palm Springs. He writes, I'm guessing you two noticed that the entire broke up the 0-0 ball game with a home run yesterday. That is true. Xavier Nady, the entire broke up the ball game. He has but Chris's question is really about El Caballo, Carlos Lee. He, along with the rest of Astros, are huge in a huge funk right now. Very true. Very true. But you know what? To be honest, this podcast has been in a huge funk for about a year and a half now, so we don't really want to cast stones. I know he's going to come back to his 30-100 in the bank, but until then, it's hard to watch him put up big poppy post-Manny numbers. Just had an extra spot open because of a player going to the DL, which I filled, and I was wondering if the entire was going to get enough playing time to pick up and plug in while El Caballo is working on his funk. Also available on free agency waiver wires, Kyle Blanks, Josh Willingham, or Rick Ankiel. Out of those 4, who would you suggest I add? It sounds like Chris is asking us to play the name game.
The name game.
Oh.
Ian Kinsler.
Albert Pujols.
Oh, Lackey.
So no.
I never once liked Craig Hansen.
The Untired.
Or
Power of the Podcast. Or,
I think admitting your love for Keith Lipscomb, very man.
Eric Chavez. He's a man's man.
Hello.
No one's talking Solomon Torres. Still no work on that Solomon Torres interview, Tristan. Unfortunately, we have to wait. Well, I do not think Xavier Nady is going to get enough playing time to be considered in this list.
Well, the thing with Nady, if I remember in the preseason, he wasn't able, quote, able to play the outfield until, I believe, June, and yet he plays right field yesterday. So at least there's that. I'm not a Nady fan. I do think if they made that comment, he's not going to play every day. I do believe also I heard Kyle Blank's name mentioned in there.
Yes, the names were Kyle Blank's, Josh Willingham, or Rick Ankiel. I personally, I don't know that I would, you know, bench Carlos Lee. I think Carlos Lee is one of those guys you stick in your lineup, and unless he's hurt, you just stick him in there, and at the end of the year, he's going to have good numbers. I'm not as worried about Carlos Lee as this guy is.
I agree, but you, if a guy's in a cold streak and you're uncomfortable, keep Lee, bench him, put in a guy like Blanks for the brief, you know, for the short term, see what you get, and when Lee heats up, after the first good game, put him right back in.
So my question is, Blanks, Willingham, or Ankiel? He's got an open roster spot. Which one do you like there?
Blanks.
Yes, I agree. Who's next?
Oh, on those three?
If Blanks is number one, then let's rank them. Willingham or Ankiel?
If memory serves, Willingham is a strong first half player, and I would go on that. I would take Willingham second.
Willingham has actually been hitting so far this year, but I'd actually go with Rick Ankiel, who's been surprisingly strong so far.
I don't trust that guy to, you know, further than I can throw anyone.
Well,
I just don't.
Well, you can probably throw it farther than Rick Ankiel. He's got control issues. But I will say this, that in a league this shallow where guys like that are available, he's clearly in a shallow league if guys like Kyle Blank, Josh Willingham, and Rick Ankiel are out there. So I personally say, we both agree it's Kyle Blank's, but Willingham, I think Rick Ankiel, while he's healthy, is going to be productive. Not a great batting average guy, but he will hit for power. All right, Tristan, I want to wish you a happy anniversary, my friend.
Okay.
Did you know today is the 30th anniversary of the very first fantasy baseball draft ever?
Amazingly, I did know that, yes.
Yeah, 30 years ago today, Dan Okrent, Glenn Wagoner, and many, many others gathered around to do the first ever fantasy baseball draft. You'll learn much more about their story and about the origins of fantasy baseball in the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, Silly Little Game, which debuts next Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. I saw it last night. It's fantastic. I think you'll really enjoy it, especially if you like fantasy baseball and nonsense, which if you're listening to this, chances are you do. But in the meantime, anyway, Daniel Okrent, the man who invented fantasy baseball, called in yesterday, talked to Nate. I was actually doing a video shoot that ran long, so I joined the interview about halfway through, just so you guys know why it starts out Nate, and then I joined about halfway through. But anyway, Tristan, why don't you hang out and listen to it with me, see if you can learn something.
All right, joining us on the phone right now is widely credited founding father of rotisserie baseball, Dan Okrent. So, Dan, I don't know why we didn't do this sooner, but welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, Nate.
So let's get into it right away here, right? We've got the 30 for 30 premiere of Silly Little Game happening Tuesday, April 20th at 8 p.m. on ESPN. This is a documentary all about the origins and growth of fantasy baseball. And actually today, Tuesday, is, I believe, the 30-year anniversary of the first ever draft.
I think it's true. It's kind of horrifying that I've been doing this for 30 years, but don't tell my wife.
Now, she doesn't know? Have you managed to keep it a secret?
Yeah, I drug her as spring training ends every year, and she doesn't wake up for another 3 weeks.
Oh, there you go. Now, I'm going to give you a look behind the curtains here. I actually, to prep for this interview, I spent a little bit of time talking to John Hassan, who's one of the editors here at ESPN.com. Mm-hmm. And he's currently in the league with you.
He is, and he's telling you that I'm in last place, I bet.
He did tell me that, and I said, John, that's just not relevant. We're a week into the season.
Well, but did he tell you that he finished last year?
No, he mysteriously left that out.
Interesting. Fascinating.
Now, you actually took a few years off from playing the game, right?
Yeah, I stopped in 95 after I'd been playing it for 15 years and decided to try to live a more normal life, and I guess I found I couldn't do it.
So that's what brought you back? You just missed it?
Well, the strangest thing that happened to me, Nate, is when the 96 season began and I got the newspaper and I opened directly the box scores as I did, I didn't know why I was looking at the box scores. And I had always read the box scores from the time I was a kid until the invention of rotisserie in 1980. But having played rotisserie for 15 years, I couldn't remember what it was that I used to be looking for. And I was kind of lost. So eventually I got back into it.
So you've actually employed a variety of different strategies over the years. And John told me I should ask you about the year you went for all Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, that was the year I thought it was going to be my last year. And I thought that it would be appropriate that I should go out in a blaze of whatever the opposite of glory is. and of course I finished terribly. But I couldn't quit. I'm just simply an addict and a glutton for punishment because, as I'm sure John has also told you, I've never won.
He did not tell me that. I was aware of that. I think that's in the film, actually.
That is in the film, but John has the wonderful line in the film. He says that my not winning is like Hugh Hefner never getting laid.
So. Wow. Well, there you go. Pushing the envelope there. For reasons passing understanding, I'm also in the film for, I believe, two random quotes that probably could have been made by anybody about the growth of the business, but I certainly appreciated the directors including me in. So your team this year... Apparently, you've got a $30 Johan Santana and a $35 Roy Halladay.
Yeah, I thought that pitching has always been my problem. I could never been able to figure out pitching. I thought that, you know, you could get by with a bunch of sort of second and third rank starting pitchers and then a few relievers to rack up the saves. So I thought I would switch around this year and spend my money on starters. And, you know, my big three, I've got Halladay and then Santana and Wandy Rodriguez. And I thought that would put me in pretty good shape. Right now, I'm last in the league in the ERA.
Well, Johan Santana's start this weekend didn't help you much.
That's right. But as you said, it is only the first weekend.
And you've also been victimized a little bit early by Mr. Trevor Hoffman.
Trevor Hoffman did not help me last night.
And we're taping this interview on Monday, so you're referring, of course, to Sunday night. Any concerns about Mr. Hoffman? We've been talking about that.
Yeah, he's about 60 years old. Other than that, I have no problems at all.
Other than that, he's totally fine?
Yeah, right.
Dan, so obviously you started the way most of us did with rotisserie baseball or fantasy or any of these things, documenting all the scores yourself with the USA Today or the other newspaper. So how do you enjoy it these days using the internet and websites to make your transactions?
Well, I certainly like the fact that I get the standings live during the games as it's happening. You know, I can whip out my iPhone and be rude to the people I'm having dinner with and see that Marlon Byrd has struck out again. That's a pretty rewarding feeling.
You didn't do an all-Cubs team this year,
right? I did not do an all-Cubs team, but I did manage to get both Giovanni Soto and Marlon Byrd, who between them combined are not batting 200. Soto's batting 091, and I think Byrd's at 105.
Dan, and we'll apologize for this, but I'm being joined in progress right now by my co-host, Matthew Berry, who was recording fantasy video, actually. And that kind of segues right into my next question. So what do you think about the fact that there is a daily, right now you're on a fantasy-focused podcast that runs daily, has won awards in, podcast land. Mm-hmm. And Matthew's doing daily fantasy video. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously this never would have occurred to anyone in 1980, but I mean, what do you think when you see all these things?
I think about how much money I'm not making from what everybody else is doing.
You and me both, my friend.
I think I've got a bigger claim on having on missing more than you.
I think you do too.
Yeah.
Hey, Daniel, first off, good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, Matt.
A thrill. One of the all-time thrills of my life, Nate.
What's that?
I once got to sit at a draft auction table with Daniel Okrent.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Dan?
I do, and Matt had the same thrill that many scores of others have had of finishing ahead of me in the standings. I try to do my best. I spread it around.
When was this?
This was a couple of years ago. Steve Wolf, as you know, our colleague here at ESPN and ESPN the magazine, is in the AARP, which is the the new league. And Steve asked me to draft for him, so I went in his place. Owner of the Wolfgang, Steve.
Right.
Wolf.
Now, Steve has actually left the league. I think that I'm the only member of the original league. Rob Flater came back into it this year. I am playing against the sons of the people I founded the league with. Harry Stein's son and Kerry Schneider's son and Rob Flater's son. And then I realized during the draft that I had drafted the fathers of some of the players that were being drafted in this draft. It was really kind of scary.
I apologize if Nate has asked you this already, but do you remember the very first player you ever rostered?
Wow, I don't think I do. I remember that Mike Schmidt was the first person brought up in our very first draft, and he went for $26, which sounded like a lot, but it turned out to be a steal.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's That's crazy. I remember my very first one, and I believe that I played in, I don't know if this name rings any kind of bells to you, but I'm in the Fat Dog Rotisserie League in College Station, Texas,
mm-hmm.
which was one of the first 25 leagues that was a member of the Rotisserie League Baseball Association.
Ah, okay.
Those guys, I didn't make it, but those guys went to Florida for one of the early conventions
mm-hmm.
you guys did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember spending $37 on Tony Gwynn and $26 on Mario Soto in 1984.
Was that Soto's? Was that the year that his arm fell off?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
Those,
it wasn't pretty to watch that.
He wasn't terrible that year. That wasn't the year where he really fell off a cliff. But he wasn't.
I remember one year when J.R. Richard had a stroke in the middle of the season. Rob Flater owned him. Says, "What does this guy care about baseball or what?"
Now I had a slightly different experience than you two because my first draft pick ever was in 1993, I believe, 92 or 93, and it was Thurman Thomas. So, which brings me to the question, Dan, have you ever experimented with, first of all, does the name Fantasy bother you?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think that the name Fantasy exists because my friends and I foolishly think we can make some money. We trademarked the name Rotisserie, so anybody who wanted to do anything commercial had to get our permission, so somebody invented another name.
So
let me take that back. Yes, it bothers me a lot.
Have you ever experimented with any other sports?
I played basketball one season, but that's it.
Yeah.
I'm not a pro football guy. I think that, you know, I could go into my reasons why I don't play pro football. They mostly have to do with the fact that statistics do not tell the story of the game in football. Otherwise, they wouldn't have interior linemen, linebackers, and so on and so forth on the team. Baseball, just it's perfect for baseball. I think it works well for basketball as well.
Now, I know because I study the game and I study the history of the sport, and I actually consider it a sport, fantasy baseball. I do.
Mm.
Nate looks at me like, you know.
I always look at you like that. It's not for this particular comment.
Fair enough. Factually correct, actually. But so I've read many, many interviews with you, and I know you've been interviewed many, many times on this subject about being the inventor, being one of the founding fathers of Rotisserie League Baseball. I'm curious, though, what's a question that no one's ever asked you on this subject?
I don't think there is one, actually. I mean, it's not as if there's one that I've been waiting for somebody to ask me, other than maybe, are you as stupid as you seem to be, not having figured out a way to make money off of this?
I do know that has come up quite a bit, because obviously it's such a big money-making industry now, and it's unfortunate that you guys have created something that is so popular and so beloved all around the world that that you haven't seen the financial fruits of that.
At spring training about 15 years ago, a pair of identical twin dentists from Indianapolis came up to me at Al Lang Field in St. Petersburg, said, "Mr. Rogan, we just want to thank you so much. You invented this game. It's changed our life. It's just terrific." And the other one said, "And to think you never tried to make any money from it. You just gave it to the people." Okay, whatever you say.
Hey, here's a question for you, though. What's the best fantasy baseball story you've heard? I'm sure people come up to you all the time. They do to me. I'm sure they do to you. Like a story that they about their league, about not
well,
a trade. I don't care about the, oh, I won on the last day with that. But, you know, like.
Well, I think the best one that I heard was when David Cone, after his first 19-game season coming out of nowhere, came over to a few of us who were at Shea Stadium and winked and said, "I guess somebody really made a lot of money on me this year." gone for $2. My problem with the stories about things that happen in other people's leagues, I have the Okrent's Law says that there's nothing more interesting than your own team and nothing less interesting than someone else's. I've had people follow me into bathrooms to tell me the stories of their teams, and it's really, really tough to take.
Matthew's familiar with that.
I get that a lot.
I'm sure you do.
I've literally been at a urinal where a guy is talking to me about a trade or should he pick this guy up.
No, I had a guy. I was actually in the can behind the door, and the guy was talking to me from the outside.
Wow.
That was scary.
Well, listen, Daniel, you know, one of my things is to give advice, so let me just tell you, don't go number two in a public bathroom. There you go. That's as good advice as I can give anyone out there.
You should have told that to Senator Larry Craig and just think his life would be good.
On that inspiring note, the film is Silly Little Game. It's one of the ESPN 30 for 30 series premieres Tuesday, April 20th at 8 p.m. on ESPN. Dan, I just have to say, my first job out of college was writing for a website that specialized in rotisserie baseball leagues. And that's, you know, was the first step in my journey to getting to where I am today. So my thanks to you for getting this all started, very sincerely.
Well, thanks to both of you. It's great to talk to you.
No, I echo Nate's sentence. There's guys like me and Nate. There's a ton of people that would not exist without you and everything you and your guys have done. So seriously, thank you. And we're thrilled that you're on the show.
Great to talk to you.
All right, there you go, Tristan. Myself, Nate, and the definitive Daniel Okren interview on a fantasy podcast.
Good stuff.
Yeah, not bad. So, and you actually have an article coming out today on ESPN.com, correct?
Absolutely. Yes, I do. It's a good day to celebrate this. I mean, we went back and took a look at the history of fantasy baseball year by year, picked our top hitters and pitchers going by earned fantasy dollar value, and we wrote up a couple little more interesting stories you might have forgotten over the years.
What was your favorite one? Give us a little bit of a tease.
We were so tempted at one point to put in the Rex Hudler story of 1996, but you couldn't overlook what Brady Anderson's crazy 50 homer year did.
No, that was insane. It was insane. But talk about Rex Hudler. The Rex was what, the Wonder Dog? I think he was.
Yeah, and he had this one year where you could have gotten him pretty much for a buck in an AL only league, and the guy got in there, played all over the field, qualified at multiple positions, batted 311, 16 homers, 14 steals. So we were so sorely tempted to sneak him in here, just because, you know, in fantasy those are the guys you seem to love, those little nuggets you get for a buck at the end.
Ben Zobrist last year, absolutely. Those are the guys.
Oh, he's a nice boy.
Pod Vader with a drop there. All right, yeah, but of course you can't overlook Brady Anderson's crazy 50 home run out of nowhere, and certainly nothing helped him, I'm sure. Sure, just a good diet and exercise there that year. All right, so anyway, Tristan Cockcroft, we will look for that on ESPN.com. Nate should be back tomorrow. Hopefully he is feeling better, but for Pod Vader, for Tristan Cockcroft, for Nate Ravitz, for Daniel Okren, we are so honored to have him on the podcast. My name is Matthew Berry. Thank you so much. We will see you back here tomorrow on the Fantasy Focus 06010. Peace out!
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.